Hi, hey, welcome to the Doorway of the Supernatural. I have with me today as my guest,
Kylan Boozer.
There you go.
Glad to be here. Yeah.
Kylan is here today. And we do want to remind you that as you're viewing and so forth, listening, and if you have questions that come up, things you don't understand or things that you're wondering about, please, we may not know the question, but we are going to search the scriptures and find them. And through prayer and seeking the scriptures, I believe God will give us a revelation to help you because we're all growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, we're discovering things every time God uses us, every time we are with the Lord, and every time we're with each other, we are learning. So if you have questions, then please get them to us. You can do it by
Facebook, you know, type in on the Facebook, and somebody's watching that. You can send it to us by Facebook Messenger. One of those ways, just give us the question, and they'll feed them to us, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Yeah, absolutely. So please do that. Now, before we get started, we want to look at this miracle takes place. And to remember that miracles are not just for special people. They are one of the identifying facts of the believer. And they operate. Things happen. Miracles and healings, deliverances happen two ways. One, by faith in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then the other is by the intervention of God through the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, most of the time, are activated by somebody else's faith.
Right.
You know, people have been believing God, they've been sick, or they're dealing with an issue, and their faith erupts the gift. Mm-hmm. And I've had people sometimes say, oh, no, I've already been healed. I'd say, listen, I'm telling you that because you've been using your faith, the gift has just been set in motion. Mm-hmm. Now, I gave you a word of knowledge about what's going on, about what the doctors have said. I have no idea who you are, where you live, or anything else, but I told you what's going on. Mm-hmm. So don't try to make a statement of faith and blow off God's arrival.
Right.
This is God honoring your faith. Now let it happen.
Yeah, God intervening into our situation.
Right.
Yeah, the way he wants to.
Because of their faith.
Yes, he desires to.
I went to pray for a blind lady one time. She said, I've got all the faith in the world. I said, well, if you had all the faith in the world, what are you doing here blind?
Right.
And she said, well, but sometimes people don't understand why the gifts operate or how they function, but it is by people believing God and God responding to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not contrary, and it's not like unbelief to say, yeah, that's me, absolutely.
Sure.
And, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Uh-huh. So if somebody gives you a word of knowledge about something, faith is being infused in you. Faith that you haven't had before. So it's arriving, it's releasing you to receive healing. So don't argue with it, just let it happen. But right now we're going to watch this miracle. We'll be right back with you.
She have a lump on her breast or anything like that? A lump?
Yes. And
she has a lump. All right, tell her to put her hand on that lump. I curse this cancer right now. I command this lump in the name of Jesus to disappear. Come out of her right now. Go in the name of Jesus. Now tell her to check for that lump. Go back to a bathroom and check it. And then you come right back out here. You go check it and you come right back here.
It's less now, but
still. So the tumor is shrunk?
Smaller.
Okay.
Smaller and pain.
Okay. We're going to pray one more time. You're going to check it again. Okay. Put your hand right back on there. Now, in the name of Jesus, I curse you and I commanded you to go. And I remind you that the name of Jesus is above every cancer, above every tumor, and above all pain. And I command right now this tumor to come out of her, to loose her and let her go. And all the pain be gone in Jesus' name. Now go check yourself again. You come right back here.
There's no any longer pain. And from this big go like this, very small.
Get out of here.
Yes? No pain.
And there's no pain.
So we're going to pray one more time, and you're not going to find it. In the name of Jesus, I curse this tumor. All of it die and go away. All the pain, loose her right now, God. She'll never have cancer. She'll never have another tumor. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, go back and check this out one more time. One more time. Hallelujah. Now, you came here last night. And what was wrong with you?
And yesterday I came. And for about a couple of minutes after the first prayer, this thing grew smaller. It was as big as a walnut when I came, but after the first prayer, it grew smaller. It was not like a lump. Then I came for a second prayer. It was like a pea. And then after one prayer, it just disappeared. It's gone. And it's not here now. The pain is gone. The growth is gone. There's no pain whatsoever. And for me, it's a miracle. It's a miracle from the Lord. Jesus is alive. He never leaves us. Glory to God. Glory. Glory to Jesus.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. That man standing beside me, that was an interpreter, he worked at a university. And he said, I'm a Christian. He said, but I'll tell you before we start interpreting, I do not believe in miracles. I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in any of that stuff. Uh-huh. He said, but they asked me to come interpret. At the end of that service that it took, that was in Bulgaria, mm-hmm. there, he came up to me crying and he said, I believe.
Right.
I believe in miracles. Mm-hmm. I believe in healing. He said, you have restored my faith in God. But it wasn't me. It was the miracles. So miracles have that because mm-hmm. Paul spoke to us and said, look, I didn't come to you with enticing words, man's wisdom, but with power, demonstration, right. Gifts of the Spirit, that your faith might not be in men, but in God.
Exactly.
And it's so important, and that's what miracles do.
Mm-hmm.
They help put the focus right back on God and not on man.
Right.
Brother Kyle, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we're going to read from 7 down to verse 11.
All right. It says there, but the manifestation of the gift is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
As he will. You know, we have been given these 9 gifts. And these 9 gifts reflect the identity of God. Like what we're talking about now is that God is an absolute healer.
Mm-hmm.
God is a healing God. Doesn't mean that everybody gets it, but it means that it's without a shadow of a doubt, God's will, God's nature is he is a healing God.
Mm-hmm.
And whether people get it or they don't get it, he is still a healing God. Just like if people get saved, they don't get saved, he's still a saving
right.
God.
Right.
And he doesn't say no to anyone in those areas. So sometimes when we don't understand the gifts of healing or anything that's taking place like that, then what we do is we come up with our own story.
Mm-hmm.
We come up with, as Paul said, another gospel.
Right.
And we begin to change the identity of God
mm-hmm.
to the point that, well, God put this on you to teach you something. And, you know, we get all kinds of weird stuff
sure.
because we are looking for why our lives are out of kelter with God's perfect will. But what we have to understand is that God's will is the scripture. Doesn't mean life is going to be smooth.
Right.
Because there many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Right.
And the Christian life can, just by definition, we serve Christ.
Yes.
In a dark world. By that definition, then we understand that everything around us is opposing to what we are and who we are.
Sure.
And so we're going to have problems in life, but problems in life cannot be used to identify or define who God is, mm-hmm. or what God is doing in our life.
Right. Yeah. The Christian life is not, well, all of a sudden I've been placed in a bubble.
Right.
And nothing bad, the tragedies don't come. And tragedy is the great equalizer.
Yeah.
It don't matter color of your skin, your nationality, your social status. Tragedy comes.
Yeah.
But it is in the goodness of God that the gifts testify to and the gifts draw from.
Yeah.
That God is to bring abundant life in the midst of living in a fallen world, that we see the effects of a fallen world.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So these gifts are plural. Ken and I kind of talked, and they're kind of the meaning or the definition that, you know, men will operate in certain areas of healing or getting results of sickness in a certain area. Mm-hmm. Like a man might say, well, you know, he gets great results healing, praying for people with heart problems, mm-hmm. or with cancer or so forth.
Sure.
And which I do agree that certain gifts and portions of gifts operate more dramatically or more mainstream in someone's life than in another person's life.
Now, would you say, question about that, would you say then, for some reason, that person's faith is really drawn and grabbing hold of that, and that's why they work in that specific more than others?
I would say that because God has drawn them that way, and because God has put faith, caused their ear to hear in that area, and so it allows that gift to flow through them more. Absolutely right. Yeah. And I think that the gifts of healing have a lot to do with not just healing, but with lots to do with deliverance. Mm. I think when Jesus cast out the devils by his word and so forth, that these were connected to gifts of healing. For the simple fact that there's no place in the Bible that the word deliverance, we have deliverance ministries. We've conjured that up. We've helped God, you know, write the Bible because God didn't get it right. But these really operate under the gifts of healing because it has to do with the healing of the spirit, healing of the soul, and healing, redeeming, bringing remission about.
That healing isn't just about a physical manifestation.
No.
It is what you're saying. It's the entire man, the entire being needs healed.
Yes.
In certain ways.
Right.
And gifts of healing speak towards that.
Yeah. And, you know, because we know that Job had a broken soul. His soul was afflicted. So we do know that, you know, the soul can be hindered, can be broken. When a soul gets wounded or something of that nature, offended, somebody that's offended in their spirit is harder to win than a city. So when those things happen is our souls come to the place that they're fractured.
Yeah.
They can't hold. And if we have people in our congregation that are hearing the word and they're not changing, they get hope, but they can't hold it.
Mm-hmm.
They get hope, but they can't mix faith with it in order to bring that hope to pass. Then what we have to do is look beyond just their, what we would say, inability.
Right.
And we would say, well, they just need to keep hearing. They keep need. Well, sometimes that's true. But other times, it has to do with their past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of people can't operate in faith that works by love because they've been abused by a father or by a mother.
Mm-hmm.
My father might have been a great guy, I'm sure, but it's just I never had a chance to know him because he was never home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew he'd been home because my mother was pregnant. She had 14 kids, and we knew Dad had stopped by or something, and because she was pregnant. And but he would come home maybe every 2 weeks, and you know, spend the night at home. And after that, he was gone back out gambling and you know, doing what he did, what sinners do. But I didn't know him, so when somebody tells me, "Oh, well, he's your father." Well, you can't paint God as a father to me, because that's not a good thing. He don't show up. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes people, just because of their past, they can't hold. What do they need? They need a healing.
Yeah.
You know, that God becomes a father to the fatherless, a husband mm-hmm. to the widow. And God is trying to heal people of the tragedies that even brought a widow into widowhood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so... you know, and stripped a father out of a household. So sometimes it's more than just the moment.
Sure.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's important that, you know, churches have things we have, celebrate freedom, which is a kind of like a celebrate recovery or right. something of that mm-hmm. nature. And we help people right. Deal with those things. And because everything is not just what we see with our eye.
Exactly.
And there are many things that, you know, when people were, woman of Samaria came, Jesus said, "My daughter's vexed, and she's doing this." He said, "Leave her alone. Mm-hmm. Leave her alone. There's something going on here."
Yeah.
And he got to the root of it. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we do that. But these gifts of healing, I am thoroughly convinced that they have to do with addictive natures. Has to do with alcoholism, drugs, sexual abuse, you know, physical abuse. Mm-hmm. And that's where these gifts come in. And it's, yes, we're a new creature, but we still have things that need to be dealt with, just like right. they had kings in the land of Canaan. But I think sometimes when people are operating in these gifts, they don't realize that.
Right.
That, you know, it is gifts of healing, a restoration of wholeness.
Right. And that, I think it's sometimes important to point is what you're saying, not everything is always just so instantaneous.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's the working of the healing through somebody's life and process, time, yes. and part of the big role of the church
yeah.
is to walk with people through these yeah. times. Is that we're doing this together, you know, and the shepherding that happens in the church and the bearing of one another's burdens is that time of helping people come to a place of wholeness through the hurts and the brokenness and that God is doing a beautiful work in people.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to see.
Right.
But we bring those things out as we journey with people to stay through the process.
Right. And it's like a wife that would be in an abusive relationship. You know, she may come out of that relationship, but all the damage is under the surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like we buy a piece of ground and we think, oh, boy, this is a great field. Well, it is until you realize that it used to be a junkyard there and they just plowed it under and sowed it with grass.
Yeah.
And you start digging, you got a lot of junk in there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, question with that, maybe address this, is the frustration people have. When it's not fast and not quick, and they want to get over this brokenness, and they want to move yeah. past it, but it's dogging them, it's in their thoughts, they're hurt, they just can't seem. Maybe some people ask why. Why is it taking, instead, I want this right here,
yeah.
but why is this taking so long? Is there any way to, yes. to address that?
Well, what happens is this. Remember that just to put somebody someplace does not guarantee success. But, you know, the Bible says, don't put a novice in a place, lest mm-hmm. he'd fall, and others are affected by his fall. So let's think that God doesn't put people that are not skillful enough to hold a position that God puts them in. So if God gets you healed, and or you get a prayer of faith prayed over you, and things start changing around, you're getting over things, abuse or whatever it might be. Well, God is dealing with all those things that have been born out of that abuse. Mm-hmm. Rejection, insecurities, fear, the inability to trust, to love. How are you going to love another man when the only thing you've ever known is abuse?
Right.
Well, God has to heal those things so that when you get here and you're recovered, guess what? Those things are not going to be holes or doors that are going to be open to the devil.
Right.
So it's kind of like, we all want to, well, I want to go into ministry. Well, are you prepared to go into ministry and stay there?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about getting a place. It's being able to maintain that place, live a pure life, and live in faith.
Right.
So it's not just about the healing. It is about the overall work that brings us to the place of Christ-likeness, possessing the abundant life, but being able to keep it and hold it. Remember, it's better never to have known me than to have known me and to depart it from me. So it doesn't do any good to put a man in a king's place that is a fool, because he'll never hold that.
Right.
And so it's important that when we, you know, people get prayed for, understand God is faithful and he's working. He's not idle. He's not silent. He is working on our behalf. Remember, it's God that worketh in you. And what's he doing? Bringing about his will for your life.
Right.
And so God's doing things behind the scene. Our job is to not be moved by evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to be stabilized in faith in his faithfulness. And so let things work their way out. And just know this, God is faithful.
Right.
The prayer of faith. We believe that something has happened despite the evidence that is declaring that it's not. And our faith is, he that hath begun a good work will complete it until the day of the Lord.
So the gifts, one aspect of the gifts of healing is that gift is the ongoing work.
Yes, absolutely.
Inside somebody to bring about that completion.
Absolutely. You might get, you know, a manifestation all at once, and that's wonderful. But if you get somebody off drugs, but their mind is not renewed, guess what? It's going to go right back to that addiction. Their taste buds, their desires, their happiness, their fulfillment in finding new friends in the body of Christ. All of that has to do with the gifts of healing.
Right.
And we just think that it's so simple. But if we just thought of this, you know, the Bible says if you want to see how the kingdom works, look into the natural. You can see order. You can see that. When you go to the doctor, does he just say, there you got it. Hey, we'll see you later. No. We walk out of there with a prescription. I'm not against doctors. And listen, 90% of us are still alive because of them. So we are not opposed to doctors. But when we walk out of there, we walk out with medication or something that's going to bring us to an end.
Yeah.
But what do? We obediently line up with the order of that doctor.
Right.
And it is the process. Things get better. Next day you feel worse. Then you feel real good. And pretty soon, after fourth, fifth day or whatever it is, bang, you're over it.
Yeah.
So if we look at that, we could say, you know what? We have faith in the declaration of a man and the guarantee of a pill. We should have faith in the promise of God.
Right. I think an example, we talked about this kind of thing before. An example that we've talked about, let's say you have two guys come down for prayer that are both convicted about their addiction to cigarettes. You pray with one, and instantaneous, done. He's got no desire. As a matter of fact, he would abhor the taste now.
Yeah.
The next guy, struggle.
He's like me.
But then the next week, that guy gives his testimony, and he's sitting there going, wait a minute, what happened to me? Why didn't I have that? Because I still want it. I still desire it. It still tastes good to me. But the process, it's not that the gifts of healing was not working.
Nope.
But it's this ongoing work in his life to bring to completion.
Why? Because God realizes there are more things behind his smoking than a habit.
Right.
And God knows us. Remember, the Holy Ghost divides severally as he wills. Why? Because he knows God's plans and purposes. And so one will deal with things in this journey. Another just needs set free because he won't have or will not sustain in his faith if he doesn't have it. So, you know, but those are things that are up to God. Kylan, today I want to kind of talk We're going to come back to this question. Well, we might as well just do it now. We're kind of on a downhill roll here of the program. Why do people say you don't have faith if you don't show your healing yet? Because people don't understand just what we were talking about.
Right.
See, people think, well, if you had faith, you'd be healed. Well, that is absolutely true, because faith is the basis of obtaining any promise. Mm-hmm. But remember that faith is the evidence, the evidence. So for the simple fact that you're saying, look, I believe I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. When I say that, just hear how it's formed. We don't tell people, I'm not sick. I'm no, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't have a cold. Well, there's something drastically wrong with your mind. See, faith is not a denial of anything. It is an acknowledgement of a belief. And sometimes we say, oh, I'm not sick. Really? Well, why haven't you been to church? Well, mm-hmm. Oh, so you've just been sleeping in and staying home and watching stupid movies? So you're not sick. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you call into work and say, I won't be in there for the next 3 days. I'm not sick. You talk like a foolish person. Mm-hmm. You don't understand how faith works. Faith does not require evidence of anything. Faith requires an agreement with what God has said in the Scripture. That's what it says. So when people say, you know, well, I'm not sick, that's not faith. That's just denial.
Right.
See, you can't deny evidence. Oh, yes, yes. No, you can't. No. Evidence is a tangible reality. But what you can do is acknowledge an invisible truth that will ultimately become tangible in the process of faith.
Yeah. Scripture says when Jesus returns, what's he looking for? Will he find faith?
Faith.
He didn't say, when I return, I'm just looking for those that got all the results of what they were believing for.
Mm-hmm.
It's faith in him, but then what comes with that is things like we're talking about. You know, nobody is going to perfectly receive everything.
No.
By the return of Jesus.
No.
We're still fine. All things are made new
at
his return, the resurrection and those things.
Right.
But it's our striving.
Yes.
It's our striving in faith towards the things that we believe. And we see things, and sometimes, like we're talking about, sometimes the process, sometimes we're working through stuff. But Jesus is looking for our faith.
Right. And if we were going to use the denial process, then what we'd have to start saying, hey, I believe Jesus is returning. We'd have to start saying, no, Jesus has returned. I've been raised. Well, wouldn't that be a stupid thing?
Yeah.
No, we believe in a truth that God has declared. We have no evidence of anything except our faith is the evidence of our persuasion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's the conversation, it's the actions that is the evidence that we believe in an invisible promise.
Right.
But so many Christians get that mixed up. And so that's
maybe to jump the question a little bit, just to say this, it's a dangerous thing to judge somebody else's faith based on what they perceive as a lack of evidence.
Absolutely.
Dangerous to do that.
Yeah. It was like the friends of Job. Well, you must have done something wrong.
Right, exactly.
No, he didn't do anything wrong. And sometimes we see people in problems, battles, and we think, I wonder what they did wrong. Well, if you had done this, you know, you'd be blessed of God. Well, that, you know, yeah, tell that to Lazarus, the poor man. You know, we could go through the Scripture and just tell all types of stories.
Right.
But what I want you to get out of this moment right here is that faith is not the great denial. faith is an acknowledgement of agreement with God. That's what it is. We don't deny, we don't have people. Well, now turn to the congregation and we're going to lead you to the place of salvation. You turn and say, I'm not a sinner. 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 No, you don't say that. What do? You acknowledge a truth. You come into an agreement that Jesus Christ died on Calvary, was buried. 3 days later, God raised him from the dead by his power, that he is now alive, and God has granted and declared him to be Lord and Christ. Based upon that, and then we say, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We right. believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. But there is no denial. So if faith works one way, one time, it works that way all the time.
Right.
So what? Oh no, I'm not sick. Okay, then what? You know, why would you use your faith for something you aren't?
Right.
I don't want to say it's crazy, but I guess it is crazy.
Gets there.
Absolutely
yeah.
crazy. So, so when people say, you don't have faith if you're not showing healing yet. Well, what they don't understand is it is a fight of faith. It didn't just say, well, it's a confession and you got the victory. Well, we believe that what we have agreed in with will come to pass. And we stand and we fight. That would be like saying, well, you can't be a Christian. You made a mistake. And you know, we just can't do that. So when people make those statements, I understand what they're saying. You need more faith. But here's the problem. Every time that, you know, people are being prayed for and they don't get healed, we say, well, you know, they don't have any faith. Well, why did you call for a healing line if you don't have enough faith to get them healed?
Right.
Because the Bible said, let those that are sick that don't have enough faith get healed. Call for the elders of the church and the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, the faith of the elder, will cause healing to come, and Jesus himself will ascend and rise you up. So don't have healing lines if you're going to tell everybody they don't have faith. No, the problem is you don't have any faith. If you're saying, hey, God wants to heal a cancer today, well, this has nothing to do with them. You've just declared the will of God. Now, you got to have faith to do it. So don't be talking stuff that your faith can't back up. And then don't shift the blame. Get rid of that Adamic nature. It's that congregant that you gave me. If they had faith, they would have got healed, God. No, it's not their fault. And so if you're going to point the finger, you need to get more faith yourself. And, people say, well, you know, if they just use their faith, they'd be blessed. I say, why don't you use your faith and give them all your blessing? Because
exactly.
you can re-believe it back for yourself.
Exactly.
You know, people used to say, well, you know, God will meet all their needs. Now you say, well, why don't you take all your paycheck that you're getting while you're working that big factory, $30 an hour, and give it to them? And that way you can use your faith and prove that it works. Anybody can say God meets all my needs when they're making $30 an hour.
Right.
I don't know. Do you make $30 an hour?
Me? No.
I think that's a slam.
Yeah, talk to my boss about that.
I don't make $30 now. But it's so easy. You got a pocket full of money to say that God meets all your needs.
Right.
But what if you didn't have that? What if you lost it? Would you file for unemployment? Would you retire? Would you take all the alternatives, or would you live by faith? Oh, let me help you. You take all the alternatives. See, anybody can believe when they're not in a battle.
Exactly.
But faith agrees and makes a decree when there is no evidence of anything.
Right.
So people can be fighting the fight of faith and have no visible or tangible evidence except their actions of faith
right.
and their confessions of
right.
faith. That's the only evidence they have.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be good. I never tell people, you just need more faith. That would just be a, especially if I've called for the prayer line.
Yeah.
And you know, when I see people not getting healed in services and stuff, I'm the first one to go home and say, man, God, what in the world did I do?
Imagine what that does to the mentality of the person on the receiving end of that. And we talked about this recently. It causes shame.
Yes.
It causes I'm not good enough. Maybe God isn't really what we're saying he is. Maybe there's sin I don't know about. Yeah. I mean, it causes a mental issue with that person because of an accusation that's not true.
Right. Absolutely. And we've also talked that sometimes when people have healing lines and stuff like that, and they're praying for people, you know, if it is not God's moment, then don't call for him because you'll hurt their faith. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we don't just throw off, well, you don't have enough faith. Well, that'd be like Job not having enough faith.
Mm-hmm.
No, he had a lot of faith. And I've had people say, well, boy, out there, if they'd had faith, they wouldn't have died. Let me tell you something. You see your life go from 150 pounds down to 80 pounds, and you're still lying in bed saying, you know what? God is my healer. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I believe what God has said about me. This does not redefine God in my life. He is the shepherd of my life. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Why don't you get 10 days from death and see if your confession is that strong? You know, we want to be careful.
I aspire to that kind of faith.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to have that kind
of faith. You bet. I have stood by the beds and people have looked at me and said, Pastor, I want you to know that me and my family, if this turns out the worst way and I do die in 3 days, I'm just telling you, our family will not allow God to be redefined. He is still a healing God.
Right.
And he is the healer of my household. That's faith. That's faith. And that's the faith being tried by fire.
Right.
I have buried some of the greatest people of faith that I have ever known. I buried them. And the Bible says these all died in faith.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes we make great faith statements. We make idiotic statements. And but you can't make them in a blanket way.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. You can't cliche the Bible and make big blanket, broad brush statements that cover everything. It just does not work.
Yeah. And, you know, things are, faith is the greatest thing besides redemption and the love of God that God has given us because it helps us please the Lord. But we can't use it. We can use it wrongly. We can manipulate people. I've had people say, you know, now, folks, when you go out, just point your hand towards my mobile home out there and thank God for it. Well, now, you know, you don't need for us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what you want us to do is get interested and get stirred that somebody might pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say, now, let's just thank God right here. You don't have to lift your hands when you leave the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful of that kind of stuff. So, hey, Tyler, we've been here, and we're going to have to do this next week. But we're going to get into the ways that God heals. And I hope that we caught the rabbit we was after today. And but, you know, I think that the things that we talk about help people.
Right.
And
these are the questions that people think about in between the lines of the teaching. Well, wait a minute. You know, what about this and this? And those questions are important for people.
Yeah. I was with took Lincoln on a visitation with me. Well, in fact, he was requested to come to pray for this guy with cancer. I'm thinking, well, I'm coming. They said, well, bring Lincoln with you.
There
so, but I take Lincoln on house calls of people. And the last one we went on, the man was dying, and he had cancer. And Lincoln said, why didn't you pray for him? I said, did you hear his voice? He is going home. His wife is prepared for him to go home. So we want to help them see the redemptive picture and the joy and the glory that is beyond life itself.
Right.
So yesterday we went and visited this man. He had cancer. And Lincoln said, why didn't you talk to them about heaven and stuff? I said, because they weren't believing for heaven. They were believing for a miracle.
Right.
I said, so we prayed for them. for standing with them, and I believe we're going to see a miracle. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you have to listen to how people are talking to see what their faith is really mm-hmm. believing for.
Right.
And so I just believe that yesterday the man got healed, and you know, I believe that God will raise him up, and he'll have a great testimony mm-hmm. for his grandchildren, his children, and his wife. Mm-hmm. But so we'll get into the ways that God heals next week. And Kylan, why don't you go ahead and pray for the people?
Yeah, okay. Lord, we thank you for this few minutes together today. And I pray blessing on everybody today, Lord, they would hear you. Lord, they would stir themselves up, connect with you today in the word and worship and prayer. I pray, Lord Jesus, and again, this is all about the gifts of the Spirit and being used by you. And I pray, Lord, that they have opportunities today to be used by you, that you invade yes. the ordinary moments of their life today, lead them, speak to them, let them be used by you to advance the kingdom of God and touch people's lives. For those watching today, Lord, that are struggling physically, whatever's going on, Lord, that we pray healing on their body, that the gifts of healing will move inside of them right now, the power of the Holy Spirit would touch them, that we see testimony of what you are in your goodness and the work of the kingdom. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And there is a child has a nerve problem. I don't know if it's damaged or if it's a birth defect, but that nerve that activates the eye has been damaged, and that child is has lost his sight. God's going to restore that, and he's going to heal that nerve, and that sight is going to come back. And so when that happens, please send us that testimony. And we just loose the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing of God. Let the gifts of healing begin to manifest in your life today. God's with you. Now he's just looking for you to run into somebody that needs him. Hey, we'll see you next Thursday, I think it is. We'll see you Thursday at 9 o'clock. God bless you. Mm-hmm.